Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. My name's Larry Jacobs, and I can't thank you enough for being here today. We're going to venture into higher ed today with my good friends over at ACT. I've got Dr. Riel Moore here and Dr. Joyce Snyders. They're both research scientists at ACT. And they're going to talk to us about the results of their surveys on first-year college students and the online learning experiences during the pandemic. All right? And this has far-reaching implications in terms of equity, okay, social-emotional learning, what K-12 needs to do, particularly high schools, to get these kids ready for what may or may not be the future of higher education, and what colleges need to do. So this is going to be a great show, and I've been looking forward to it all week. As you all know, we are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is over at ACE-ED.org. including our magazine, which is an online journal, excellent, I might add, called Equity and Access. Okay, please go over there and enjoy it. All right, you can. Everything we do over there is free at ace-ed.org for any educator. All right, all of our podcasts, like this one, are archived over there as well, plus a ton of information about equity. And also, we invite you to visit our new website, which ties equity and social-emotional learning together. That's called SEL Today, and it's seltoday.org. So please enjoy what we do. Oh, take advantage of this, and for the next half hour or so, as William Shakespeare said better than me, lend me your ears. All right, Riel, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, this is Larry Jacobs. I think I forgot to give my name earlier. It's Larry here, and it's a pleasure to have you here. Am I doing all right with your first name, Riel?
Yes, perfect.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, and Joyce, I know how to do Joyce. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, Larry.
Hello, it's a pleasure to have you here. And let's see, one of you in the Columbus, Ohio?
Riel is. Yep, I am.
Hi, Riel. How's that? Is there a football team there in Columbus anywhere?
I think there is, but let's not talk about it because last week was kind of rough.
I don't mean to bring up a sore point. We're talking about good stuff here, okay? It's funny, isn't it? Well, are you an Ohio Stater? Is that where you're there? Are you an Ohio Stater?
Yep,
yeah,
I'm an alumni.
There you go. So they do have a they still have a football team, huh?
They do.
Okay, we'll leave that one go. Okay, and Joyce, I must ask Dr. Snyders, would you go to school just for fun? Let's see what we can get out of you on this.
I went to University of Iowa. It's actually Schneiders.
Right. Congratulations. University of Iowa had a good – they won this week, didn't they? Did they win? No, they lost to Iowa State, right?
The Iowa football team? No,
yeah.
We played a different team. We played Iowa State last week. Yeah.
Okay.
But we won.
Well, yeah. Good luck. What can I tell you? It's a pleasure to have you both here. And as I said, this particular topic is very, very important. You are both, and I love this, and I'm going to ask Riel to talk about this. You are both research scientists at my good friends over at ACT. All right? And Riel, just you talk about this, okay? What does a research scientist at ACT, and I'm asking this in all seriousness, do? Tell us about the world of being a research scientist over there. Then we'll get into the topic here.
Sure. This is an awesome question. Some of the research scientists at ACT, we will focus on things like validity and efficacy research. So we'll look at whether or not and to what degree our products are, having an impact on students, educators. And then there are another group of us who will think of research questions, think of things that are sort of relevant to the times and figure out answers to those questions. Anything from like what are high school students experiencing during the pandemic, to the thing, the research that we're talking about today in terms of things that educators should be doing in order to help provide support to first-year college students.
Absolutely. And breaking up a little bit, in a minute, if I can do it now, I'm going to ask you to hang up and call right back in. Okay, that usually stops that little bubbly breakup there. You want to do that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, do it, and we'll, that should break that up, and I'll talk to Joyce. And, you know, Joyce, this is just wild in terms of this year and how the disruption that has been in K-12 and higher ed is affecting the work that AET does, and that has to be proven by data and research, okay, as you develop your products, et cetera. All right, what are your thoughts on that, Joyce?
So when the pandemic hit, nobody was prepared. Like this survey, before the pandemic, we planned on a different topic on this survey. But when the pandemic hit, we really want to understand how students are doing because we care about them. We care about perspectives on the learning. And also, even before the pandemic, the first year of college is often a very stressful time because the transition from high school to college brings new circumstances and expectations. And the learning experiences during the first year of college is a critical predictor of student persistence. So with the disruption of the pandemic, the rapid transition to online learning made this high school to college transition even more challenging for first-year college students. So it is very important to study these students' learning experiences and its potential effect on their education plans. So we just really wanted to see how we could help students and hopefully provide some insights for post-secondary institutions.
It's so important, and it just boils down to what you two know so well, which is data. All right, and once we get the data, we can create the products and services necessary. And this is what you do, and you said it, Joyce, you do care about these students. We all want them to succeed, and we can't help them to succeed unless we know where they are. All right, and the pandemic, and by the way, I know you're back. Hi, Rial, you're up online here again. No problem, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Good, and you sound better already. So, all right, let's talk about this. All right, the new survey, okay, is at the leadership, I'll give you a website, leadershipblog.act.org, and it'll be first-year college students online, et cetera. A lot of the work was online. I'll just go to the nitty-gritty, and we'll do Rial now that her phone's back in connection here. Okay, Rial, why is it important to get their first-year college students' view? Why was it important to you guys? They've already taken their ACT, if I may, okay? And what do you do with the research that you have? So the importance and then what you do with it.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Perfectly. Oh, yeah.
Okay, perfect. I think Joy said a little bit about this in terms of the importance and that you know, while we are a testing company and we focus a lot on the ACT, as an organization, we're, you know, obviously much bigger than just a test. And we're really interested in, you know, supporting students from career and college transition as well, and also workforce for that matter.
You sure are.
So it's part of our DNA. It's part of our mission to focus on those things. So that's one of the reasons why we focused on college students, even though they have already taken the ACT test. And just sort of to elaborate a little bit on what Joyce had said is, you know, it's really important because this is a time for students that their life is, they're unsure, generally speaking, even before the pandemic. There's a lot of stress and anxiety and unknown.
Say the least.
And so when that the things that you thought were going to be predictable, like going to class, you know, three days a week, when that changes, that just becomes even more of an issue. And we thought that it was important to really capture what students were saying, which in the report we do rely heavily not only on numbers but also the voice of what the student is saying.
Yep, the anecdotal stories, yep.
Yeah, and so we thought that it was really important to be able to articulate what students were saying and provide solutions to some of the challenges that students are having.
And I have to say something, you know, when people think of ACT, they, of course, it's obvious, they think of the testing, okay? I work a lot here with the ACT Center on Equity, okay? You guys are really involved in if I may, in the evolution of a student, okay, and how we can create the right successful atmosphere for them. That's really what you folks do. Okay, and I want to make that clear. Okay, it goes way beyond the test that everybody sees, which is the tip of the iceberg, I might add. All right, so Joyce, all right, talk about the key takeaways. And I mentioned earlier that this was particularly hard on first-generation kids from lower income, which is that equity question. Joyce, take it away. What were the key takeaways from all this?
Sure. So first, I want to talk about, our data showed that the first-year college students, they did experience academic challenges and concerns after the rapid transition to online learning. Out of three students in our survey reported that their coursework was challenging, and over three-quarters of them were concerned that this online learning during the pandemic would negatively impact their academic success next year. And also, these academic challenges and concerns were further related to their certainty about enrolling in the same institution next year or not. More importantly, we found that the key elements that could potentially help alleviate these academic challenges and concerns include access to technological resources, learning resources, and the prior online learning experiences before the formal instruction. So students who had these resources was less likely to report high levels of challenges and concerns.
Yeah, what you just said, one of the most amazing things that, you know, it gives the kids pause. Are we going to return to the same institution? All right. And that is a huge, that question is huge because it affects the universities and colleges, or the institutes of higher ed, whatever they might be, as well as the students, okay, in terms of their economics, et cetera, in terms of their ability to continue on a straight-through continuum. That's an amazing little piece of information. And you mentioned something, and Joyce, talk about this. I just want your opinion on this. You said that the students found the coursework very challenging. But if I may, of course, it's higher ed academic coursework is supposed to be challenging, but I just want to clear this up. But what I think that we mean is that they found it more challenging than being in an in-person lecture, that there were, if I may use the word again, challenges that arose because of technology, if I let's take it that way, online learning. What are your thoughts on what I'm just saying right there?
All right. So we did ask them directly to rate how challenging it was during their online learning during the past year. And then we have some open-ended questions for them to list the challenge they had. And the most common ones they experienced, including like lack of motivation learning online or difficulty with retaining information that was learned online, and also having trouble with understanding the concepts without their hands-on experiences, things like that.
And yet, you know, I have to say something in all the students' defense, all right? A lot of them, the professors were not trained in online learning, 90% of them. Some of them are, obviously, okay? But the vast majority are not trained on how to teach online. And there's a very different pedagogy. Okay, and who bears the brunt of that? And not that people didn't try. Please don't misunderstand. Okay, but it's a whole different thing. All right, and it's the students who pay in, again, top dollar to go to colleges. Okay, for teachers who are untrained in this particular way of teaching, and it falls on the students. And you mentioned this before. Then next year they have to go to their colleges this year, so to speak, and all of them are pretty much back in person. Hopefully it'll stay that way. But the expectation of the History 102 teacher is that they understood perfectly History 101. But the fact of the matter is they might not have. And that History 102 teacher has to understand it. This survey is incredibly important to me. Okay? It really is, because it also talks about the challenges from low-income and first-generation kids who suddenly were home, and now everybody knows the equity challenges. It's an equity question, the broadband and all that sort of stuff. Rial, what do we know about that? Equity.
When it comes to equity and any sort of technology, either the device or broadband, as you point out, it just makes things even worse for underserved students, low-income, students of color. Because they don't have it, generally speaking, and that's also what we found, not just with K-12 kids, but also in this study with higher ed, that there were a higher proportion of underserved college students who just didn't have good internet and didn't have good enough technology in order to be learning online full time.
It's brutal out there, I got to tell you. So let me speak. You just mentioned it, K-12. So stay with me, Rial. All right. How does it, we always talk about college prep courses in K-12. Oh, he's getting the academic track or preparing him to go to college. Well, suddenly things have changed. Okay. How does what you folks learned from this, the results of this survey, affect high schools in getting kids ready to go to college? Have you thought that through at all? Or getting any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think one thing sort of to think about is there's always been this conversation that, younger students are these digital natives, and they just naturally know how to use technology for learning. And that's really not the case. They know how to use technology for things like talking to their friends, engaging with social media, but how to use it to actually learn content and apply content is a very different story. And so I think the sooner we can start doing that in the K-12 realm, the more prepared the students will be when they are in college, and they're more likely to be using that technology for learning.
Yeah, great point. Don't take that digital native thing for granted, because it's not always there, and there's a big difference between understanding how to play, I will now show my age, how to play Super Mario versus learning. Okay. Sure, they've improved since Super Mario, but we'll just move on from there. Okay, Pong. There's a big difference between playing Pong on your screen than there is in really understanding the content. Okay? When you go through all this, you see all these answers, you guys came up with the questions. What were your expectations, and did anything really surprise you? Joyce, I'll start with you. What was the big surprise?
I would say most of the findings in the study followed our hypothesis. What's fascinating me here is that if we assume all students receive the same technological and learning resources, the differences in academic challenges and concerns were no longer significant among students from different subgroups. That tells us being, for example, first generation or low income alone was not a predictor of these academic challenges during the online transition. It is all about the access to functioning technology and access to learning resources. So if we could increase such access, that could potentially help underserved first-year college students to navigate through the new mode of learning during and or even after the pandemic.
And, the first generation student, certainly a lower income student, it's hard enough. It's hard for everybody, but it's particularly hard for them to go to college. Okay, it's a whole new world. All right, and it's hard, and to make it even harder. Okay, we got to do everything we can to help these kids. Okay, and I'm not talking about lowering standards. I'm talking about recognizing their needs, okay, and bringing them up to the standards, but understanding their needs as we do that. Okay, to me, it's just so important. What surprised you the most, Riel?
I think it's similar to what Joyce said. Most of the results were what we, you know, sort of expected. You know, when students have concerns, then they start thinking twice about whether or not they want to, continue going to college.
Wow.
As you had mentioned earlier, that, you know, there are some real financial implications. If you don't think you're getting the quality of education that you want, you may think twice about continuing college and waiting until COVID is over. So I think that was, especially the variation in terms of the percentage of students who were sort of doubting whether or not they should go back to the same institution.
Wow.
So I think that was the most surprising thing.
Yeah, that is pretty surprising. And actually, it's pretty scary. All right, because the – I have to say it this way, which is weird. The old line, you only get one chance to make a first impression, all right? And if kids get the wrong impression of what higher education is like, the way it was so disrupted the last couple of years, okay, that's going to hurt them as when they think about what the need for higher education. Their first impression wasn't good. All right, and college should be, besides you should learn something, should also be fun, a fun social experience. That's key. And we ask a lot of these kids, and I might add a lot of these schools. So I'll stay with Riel on this one. Riel, the recommendations for higher ed, what do you want them to do? How do you want them to support first-year college students, knowing now what the kids went through the last couple of years? Riel.
Yeah, I think, really having institutions understand who their incoming freshmen are and where they are technologically, using technology for learning, the types of technology they have access to, the quality of it, and then tailoring, what their needs are based off of what they know about their students to that first-year experience. I also think a good recommendation is, providing support to faculty. How are they supposed to be doing teaching and learning in an online environment?
Good point.
I was just going to say, so
yeah.
It,
yeah, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
And so, really being able to provide, training and professional development resources so that that online experience, including things like being able to have faculty to provide real-time substantive feedback to students in an online learning environment, because that was one thing that tended to really pop out in terms of being a challenge for students.
It's great that you said that. I do a lot of work at K-12, and you two both know this. There's a lot of always talk about professional development. What are we going to do for professional development for our K-12 educators? And that's a huge business, by the way. Okay? But we rarely talk about it. I love what you just said. We rarely talk about it with college professors. Okay? But the world of college professing, okay, has changed. All right? You can't stand up there and lecture anymore, because that's not a way that the kids understand how to learn. Because things are changing in K-12, those first 13 years of their life in education, all right? And we have to have professional development and thought about, A, how to teach this way, how to teach this particular brand of students, as more and more kids from under-resourced schools, lower socioeconomic classes, people of color, et cetera, come into the school. It's a different world. We got to take care of these kids, Okay, this is the world we teach in. And that's a great point that I hope that the colleges can learn from this and adjust their teaching, not just take the way it's always been done for granted. Joyce, I'm just blabbing here. Are you finding that? That they're really thinking about this?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We did provide some suggestions in our report about what kind of trainings may help college professors. Things like how do you design an online course? How do you organize the online course materials and find an effective way to interact with your students online and use the learning management systems or increase students' motivation and engagement during the online learning?
Yep.
These are all good topics for college professors' professional development because, like you said, they did not have any online teaching experiences before the pandemic. So
And it's not like they didn't try. Don't misunderstand. But boy, it's brutal. And you know what's funny? Not every school, obviously, but most universities have a school of education. And the school of education, which trains future educators, knows a lot about this. But to the rest of the college, which is a place of learning and a place of pedagogy, they're not tapping into their own resource. It's like, well, we have a medical school, but we're not going to go to any of them if we need a prescription. Of course they do. They go to their college hospital, okay, and talk to their doctors. But they already have doctors in education who can really help them along as these things change. It's a brave new world out there. I'm so glad we have this survey. And again, it's at leadershipblog.act.org, and it's first-year college students online. Ladies, this is fabulous stuff. I mean, it's just great. Thank you. Thank you both. What can I say? Thank you, Rial.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
I agree with you. It was a pleasure, not from your point of view, from mine. You two are wonderful. Joyce, thanks a million. Okay? Just terrific.
Thank you for your interest.
Well, are you kidding me? This is what we live for, this kind of stuff, from experts like you. So thank you both. Keep it up. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome, Joyce. Okay, Rial Joyce, Rial Moore, Dr. Moore. Joyce Schneiders, Dr. Schneiders, research scientists at ACT. They have their Center on Equity, which you can Google at ACT Center on Equity. And if you want to learn more, I'm just going to give it to you again, leadershipblog.act.org. And it's the first-year college student survey. Hello, what can I say? We'll archive over at ace-ed.org, as we always do. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity, and we have our new website. Please go over. You'll enjoy it. We're just working on it, but it looks great. SEL Today. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. You have a great day. Bye-bye.